this thing. No title again?
And I did not live the little money.
Is it rolling, Bob?
I'm on here, not 90. I think it's a 97 model. And somebody else bought it, and then I bought it. They traded in a lot after that. Besides the battery, that's the only thing I've ever done, and I truly don't ever, I never changed the oil in it. Now I'm thinking Brian or somebody else might have, but I don't know that.
I know the other day that we were on the front. We tore all these ears in there. And they put a little fix up there.
Where are you from?
I'm from Canada.
Canada? Yeah. Okay.
No,
Canada's pretty big.
Toronto. That's pretty good.
Toronto, that's pretty good. I drove through it. 1967, I drove through Toronto.
Well, that was our anniversary. That was our 100th anniversary year,
1967.
That was,
well, I had gone to Montreal to Expo
67. You went to Expo 67. I might have seen you. You were just a little girl.
No, I wasn't.
No?
I was 23.
I was just about that myself. Yeah. A young man.
It was wonderful. A great... I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Well, that's down memories. In the books as one of the best expos they've ever had.
Oh, yeah.
The world was still relatively
awesome.
Peace, and then awesome. People all got together.
Yes, it was.
It was
wonderful.
A very, the American Pavilion and the Russian Pavilion. They were both trying to outdo each other. Who had the best one?
St. Lawrence.
That's right.
You know, across from each other.
Yeah.
And
they're both so interesting, you know.
Both, and showed what different cultures.
Different cultures.
But you went over to the Russian one, and it was all steel and concrete.
That's
and gray,
right.
And you walked in, and there was Lenin's face looking at you, and it was huge, you know.
That's
and
right.
And then you go over to the geodesic dome.
That's right.
And there was Molly Brown's brass bed and quilts and folk art, and it was color, bright colors, and it was just...
Those are very interesting observations, because that's exactly what it was about. It was the time to showcase which culture was better, and that was a beautiful dome, and it's still there.
Is that right?
Buckminster Fuller's geodesic dome.
Well,
it still exists. The artifacts aren't inside anymore, but it's a landmark now in Montreal on St. Helens Island. It's lovely to see.
And I loved we got to visit Old Town Montreal, too, which I loved.
We'd
love to go by. And the Notre Dame cathedral there is just beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That's where our famous Celine Dion got married, and in that Notre Dame cathedral. I still visit there every year. I've moved, but I still go back. I bring a group of students from Japan to visit Canada.
Oh.
So I take them through Montreal, Quebec City. I teach,
She's a wonderful teacher.
I'm a retired teacher. Yeah.
Well, I can tell the way you're recalling your memories. Very good. Yeah, that was a very special year. And Canada was at its peak because it was our 100th anniversary. We felt young and anything was possible.
And you know, I've always been impressed. I've been one year, when I was much younger, I went to British Columbia. And I've always been, and then when we went to Montreal, we drove through Toronto and we came down into the United, back into the United States that way. And I've always been impressed how clean, how courteous. Everything, you know, you would stop in bathrooms, and I judged everything by the bathrooms. And the bathrooms were clean, you know, and it was always, everything was clean and neat, and the people were all so courteous.
It's,
uh,
It's a different
country. I hope it's still like that.
Well, it's interesting. It is. In fact, a lot of us think it's much better than it used to be. 67 was a very special year because of that. And everybody still clings on to that. And the whole world has gone through hell since then, of course.
And is right now.
Yes.
Right.
But Toronto has redefined itself. And it's considered the multicultural capital of the world. Every single race, every color, every religion is living in peace.
Uh-huh.
Church next to a synagogue, next to a mosque, next to a Hindu temple. And everybody gets along. My students model it.
So that's a good example of how it can be done.
Exactly. I like to think we're using this as sort of a beacon to the world, saying, look, people don't have to. You can leave those problems at home. Mm-hmm. You can coexist. So the kids in school, we don't choose their friends by their color or anything else. It's just these are the kids I like playing with. So both my children were born in Japan. I've grown up in a new world. Very different from the one I went to, when everybody looked like me, back in the 1950s. I just bought a copy of the Dixon James Reader. Of course, you probably grew up with that, too, when you're in elementary school learning to read.
Oh, yeah.
Dick James Allen.
Look, see.
And I bought one of the teacher's coffee for 1947. I just wanted to find that Amarillo.
How interesting.
It's going back to that other world. Yeah.
That's
it was a little easier. Everybody had the same background.
It was similar. I grew up here.
Is that right?
School here. And then my last
is that where teaching.
I taught here.
You've done a wonderful job here.
Oh, thank you.
If you remind me if we have...
Well, our heritage is pretty simple, but we're so proud of where we come. You know, we want young people to be able to come here and see what it was like.
Yeah.
What was it like? What was it really like? You can't get that from a history book.
It's exactly right.
We want them to see. Look, you know.
We have an Upper Canada village, which restores it, and I take my students there and another one. And it's just, based around farming communities. That's how Canada settled. That's where my grandparents were.
Yes.
And so you would have the small towns and the nice
people stuck together and help each other.
Well, this is it, and somebody needed help. And it's a different world, of course. It's a different world.
Well, we're so glad you came. Be sure to put your pen in our. We keep track of our visitors. Just if we do this, this is the drugstore is on the other end of the summer. So
yeah.
Let's go around.
Yeah.
And then we have volunteers, which is on our volunteers down there. And we have pins over here.
Well, I have
it. In Toronto.
I'll do that.
Okay, you too. You're a good trip.
Thank you.
Well, where were you from?
I was from Thailand, actually. That's where I live.
Yeah, wow. You've come a long way, really.
I have, yes.
Well, that's the neat thing about working here in the summer is that the world comes to us.
Yeah.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
And we learn a lot, a great deal. And it's really
certainly glad we stopped here. Have a good day now.
All right. Now I have, where are the pictures? I have actually a Canada flag pin.
Oh, how neat. That would be wonderful. So we start over each other
Canada, our cities aren't marked on here. I'm going to have to remember where it is.
None of them are. You have to guess.
Well, I'm sure these people are from where I am.
Yellow is a happy color.
I'm actually from Montreal. That's my
You put it wherever you've got the entire country.
Well, I know. We're going to have because we're Lake Ontario, and then we go around there to that sea. Okay, there's our border right there into Quebec. All right. I'm going to put it right about here.
Someday, on my bucket list,
list, I have Quebec City. I would like to be
there.
I have not
now,
done that.
I go there every summer since, and that's a World Heritage Site now.
Yes.
The old walled city, it's amazing. And every summer, they had a reenactment of when the French were here 200, 300 years ago, wearing their big hats and costumes. That's wonderful to see. Entirely French, but they all speak English because they know the world is coming to them, too.
Yes.
So very good service, good food, and one of the safest places you can visit for some reason. There's just no crime. They know it would be too bad for business, so whether they have undercover people or not, but there's no trouble in Quebec City.
But that's wonderful, and that's so rare in this today's world.
It's getting harder and harder to find, that's for sure.
Go, okay, what are you doing? How are you doing it? And let's recreate.
We want to recreate this.
Yeah.
Peace and love, no
crime.
Well, I think enough people want it back. Right? Enough people you talk to. And
yes.
I get depressed. If I read the newspaper, I get so depressed. And I just, my whole world view goes down.
Yeah.
I've parked it for a while on this trip. And when you keep meeting nice people, wait a minute now. The world isn't as dark as the news tells us every day. There are nice people everywhere.
Everywhere you go.
Who want basically the same, want to live, get along together, and not cause any trouble. And if we keep on to that hope,
we're
okay.
I drove not Route 66. I took I-40, but with my and Cynthia went to California this year. And she flew in, but I drove with my children, my grandchildren, and we stopped at Grand Canyon and did all the things.
Gorgeous.
And you're right, wonderful, nice people from all over the world everywhere we went, and Just wanting to love their families and have a good time.
That's exactly it. It's as simple as that. And I think the problem is more and more and more people around the world. I've lived in Japan, I've lived in Africa, and I'm seeing nice people. Who is stirring up all this shit? Somebody some people seem to just thrive on anger and war and hatred.
It's the very small minority that's got the biggest voice.
The biggest voice
because
and the most power behind them.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like when I was teaching, every once in a while you have a kid who's a bully, and they're the loud ones that get all the attention, And then the rest of your class are really sweet,
You
have to focus on that.
Some people just need that, and if you could find a way to calm them down a little or have a different view, but I guess it's always been that way. And we're probably better off. My younger friends like to tell me, no, the world is actually better off than it has been in the past. Even though it might look different to us.
Yes.
When you look about the health care and the things
the
quality of life
and
so on.
When I have health problems, I'm going, okay, I'm glad I don't live back in the 50s. I'm glad I live now because I can get help with my...
Well, even
for
in the
all
70s,
kinds of
when my father died, that's what Daniel said.
Often you hear that. It's the case. Anyway, it's been very pleasant talking to you both. Carry on my tour here.
Have the world come to us.
Yeah, well, you're doing a great job, and I'm very impressed with this whole thing.
Thank
the idea you can
so
just
much.
Go on, whether they're open or not, looking in, you're seeing something. It's a way to go. Thanks very much. We will. Thank you. Take care. Enjoying a little bit of shade. Yeah, it was nice. Yeah, I'm in the Route 66 Museum in Elk City, and it is fabulous, way beyond expectations. A lot of old buildings that are showing how life was in a rural community back throughout history. And we're in now the Farm Museum, and oh my gosh, the stuff here, the organization, the displays of tools and barbed wire and horseshoes, everything you can think of. Now, I'm standing in front of the J.C. Creed. And I really don't... J.C. is something, I guess, that's American and not Canadian, as far as I know. The J.C. Creed. We believe that faith in God gives meaning and purpose to human life. That the brotherhood of man transcends the sovereignty of nations. That economic justice can best be won by free men through free enterprise. that government should be of laws rather than of men. That Earth's great treasure lies in human personality, and that service to humanity is the best work of life. United States Junior Chamber of Commerce. I kind of like that. Okay, we got a God in there, free enterprise. Yeah, well, what do you think? Anyway, great, great, great museum. Route 66, don't miss it. Elk City, Oklahoma. Yeah. I'd almost forgotten about you, Dixon James listeners. But here I am. This has been such a travelogue. I think it's veered off kind of topics that we often talk about on the Dixon James podcast. Things like insecurity, anxiety, fear. And I'd kind of like to get back to that for a little bit, and I think I'll see if I can steer us in that direction. But first of all, let me say I'm sitting on kind of, I guess, what you'd call a lawn outside our motel room here in Chandler, Oklahoma. A lot of traffic going by, you can hear that. That road is the original Route 66, and that's why we're here. We picked it up. Harold very much wanted to see it, and we picked it up and followed it quite a bit today, tracking down the old route past just the abandoned buildings and businesses. And it's kind of interesting. What's his name? That Connolly guy did a very good television documentary on Route 66, which Harold had seen, and I think that really lit a spark. But Harold is talking about coming back next year and doing a Route 66 trail for his third NART, North American Road Trip. And so we're leaving Route 66 tomorrow, and we're going to head our way back towards... We've got to be in Colorado in a few days. He's got a plane to catch in the morning, and I've got a train to catch in the afternoon. And I'm having a hard time keeping track of days. I believe it's Saturday night. We are staying at this Lincoln Motel. It was written up in the guidebook. Harold bought a guidebook on Route 66, and this was written as one of the originals, going back, I guess, from 1939. Of course, new ownership. A man of Indian heritage. I haven't seen many of those around, and I don't mean North American Indians. It's called the Lincoln Motel. I will be posting some pictures on Facebook, because the neon sign is just great. Very simple, but it's just startling to see. You gotta love neon. And so, where were we? Yeah, so we took this drive, and we picked it up in Amarillo, Texas, after Roswell. That must have been yesterday. Where the hell did we stay last night? I've had to write down where we stayed every night. Was last night Roswell? Could it be? That was in New Mexico. I don't know. Man, oh man. It's not just my memory. It's just this kind of trip, you know. You're just moving, moving, moving. So anyway, we're following Route 66. We've got the GPS unit, which is not much help because the road disappears. You've got to get on and off, on and off. Get onto 40. It's paved over. Pick up a piece here. So this book is very good. It's a guidebook, except that it's going from Chicago to L.A., from east to west, and we're going the other way, really. So you're kind of going backwards in the book, and it gets very confusing, and then there's just sort of no exit, so you can follow part of it and then just ends, and you got to find your way back onto a freeway and then pick it up again at the next exit or something. So it gets complicated. Anyway, at one point during the day, we got way off, missed the name of a town. I'm in the navigator role. I felt certainly responsible for not keeping us on the right track. We ended up down a flat, you know, grasslands, farming road. And I got it into my head. I needed to understand why. Is this one of those things? Like on Dixon James, you know that I'm always analyzing. Well, why? What's the meaning? What's the significance? When you make a mistake,
What's the significance? What's the purpose? What's it trying to teach you? What wouldn't have happened if this did happen, or what didn't happen because this did, or all those crazy things, which is just the way my brain works, and a lot of brains don't work that way. It just is what it is, you know? Ooh, there go the cops. Ooh, racing. A lot of bikes going down this road. Anyway, I start sounding very much like I'm complaining, like, why are we here? How did this happen? What's the meaning of this? And the way I'm saying it can only sound, certainly in Harold's ears, and I think to anybody in that car, like I'm complaining and bitching and maybe blaming Harold. What the hell are we doing on this road? This isn't Route 66. And truthfully, that's not at all what I meant. All I was trying to do was pull it together. Okay, we made... I want everything to have significance all the time. And it's a crazy thing, and I'd be well to be rid of that thing I do. I was like, why stay here or not there, and so on. And what's the meaning? What's better? So Harold starts to pull over. Okay, look, what the hell's the matter here? You know, like, are you blaming me or what? And I'm thinking, whoa, no, not at all. I'm just trying to understand. He said, well, we made a wrong turn. I said, I know we made a wrong turn. Why did we make a wrong turn? Well, because we turned left when we should have turned right. So he's got all these logical answers. And I'm not looking for logic. I'm looking for, is there a purpose? So it became a very intense, very, very intense conversation. Probably the most intense we've had. Even worse than when I hounded him at breakfast and probably ruined his breakfast, wanting to know how his belief that our death dates are predetermined, how that could possibly fit in with free will. And it's just not a conversation he wanted to have at breakfast, and I just wouldn't let go like a dog with a bone. I just kept pressing him on it. So I'm not necessarily the easiest person to be with all the time. And some might say, well, nor is Harold. And, of course, we both forgive ourselves. The thing is, we resolved it. I made it very clear, no, I didn't mean that at all. And Harold wanted to make it clear, well, listen, the way you spoke, your tone of voice, the words you said, all made it appear as if I was judging him. But what he really said was, what is the word? Not fragile, but I'm just as... the word meaning, not having confidence, I think I just mentioned it earlier. As you bring it up on your show all the time about, you know, not maybe believing yourself or having doubts. And Harold said, well, you know, I do too. So you got to understand, when you talk like that with that tone of voice, and it sounds like it's complaining, it seems as if, insecure, I believe is the word, insecure. It sounds as if you're criticizing me. We cleared it up. I really do think we cleared it up and cleared the air. And that became the significance of this drive to me. Suddenly I had an answer. Oh, we needed to make that detour so we can have this very tense exchange, but that got aired out so there was nothing left underlying. And I know that sounds as crazy as you could even think anybody with a sane mind would follow, you know, that kind of illogical, strange belief system, you know. Yes, there's a reason for everything. Our reason was we needed to air out some laundry. I don't know. Now that I've said it all, of course, it sounds like absolute crap. And I'm not sure I believe any of it. But traveling with a person, you know, day after day after day after day after day, we do pretty well. It's a lot of give and take. We're both in it because we have a common goal of wanting just to have a good time. And that's a good thing. There is a lot of time for reflection, as I think I've mentioned earlier. I was thinking today an awful lot about this whole issue of insecurity, and yeah, I guess that seems to be one of the themes of this Dixon James podcast, of just not having any belief in yourself. And I think that's what some listeners latch on to and think, okay, good. And my belief was that if I'm open and honest and talk about my fears and anxieties, it will make others feel better because they'll realize they're not alone. And that's really, honestly, a primary purpose to the Dixon James podcast. Hey, I'm just an average human, and average humans are fucked up. And we just do our best to get through life. And there are people who don't even think, who are just shallow and perhaps out of fear, they put on personas. God, I hope I'm not. I did say earlier, days and days ago, I want to be done with Dixon James and done with the Scarborough dude. I don't know if that's possible now, but I'm dreading going back and dumping so many clips into a big folder and then having to pull them out bit by bit to cobble together, I'm sure, what will be 4, 5, or 6 podcasts. But that's the way it is. So I guess, I don't know if I wanted to say that. I've thought about my family a lot. I've thought about, well, to some degree, my future. Going back to school, God damn it, as soon as I get back. And handling that, and dreams to the future. One thing I did mention on this trip was I felt good in Utah, good amongst the mountains and the hills. I haven't seen much of Colorado, but certainly Utah was spectacular. And the other countryside, now that we're in sort of Oklahoma, Texas, flat countryside, I'm not as enamored. But also because I felt a real connection for some reason to the Navajo, I know, that sounds, oh yeah, why? It just felt right, it just felt good, possibly because of the THC I've been ingesting. But just about the manners, about the style, about just getting away from the other America when we stayed in Medicine Hat. And I just had a great feeling on several occasions, including that night in Mexican Hat, when this big circle was open in the clouds and there was an angel there looking down and saying, hey, take it easy, you're okay. That was as real as anything else, and I liked it a lot. And I kind of want to get back to that. And so we've decided we're going to abandon Route 66, as I mentioned. Head north into Kansas, I guess. Haven't been to Kansas yet. And work our way back to Utah, Colorado, and maybe get to Archer's National Park, the one we missed on the way. So, it's all good. It's been a great adventure. I'm really enjoying posting all these pictures on Facebook and loving getting all the likes. But unfortunately, the Wi-Fi here at the Lincoln Motel is, it pretends to be working, but it's not. In fact, the technician arrived just after we checked in, but didn't seem to have solved the problem. So, Scarborough Dude, signing off. Harold's already gone to bed. I'm going to just make what I can of the hours I've got left. I'm feeling a little funny about spending all that money, I won't say how much, on that Dixon James book, and yet I know if I didn't buy it, it would be eating at me. So sometimes you got to do those things. And I may end up selling it on eBay, who knows. Okay. Scarborough Dude, signing off. Catch up with you tomorrow from Kansas City, maybe. Bye for now.
This year, 1978, with the arrival of thousands of Texas longhorn cattle and hundreds of trail-weary cowboys, the cattle drive season for Dodge City is in full swing. As the trailhands blow off some steam and celebrate the end of their 2 to 3 month trail drive, the lawmen of Dodge City have had their hands full attempting to maintain peace in the queen of the cow towns. However, a new town ordinance has been established whereby the carrying of weapons north of the railroad tracks is strictly prohibited. Even so, a limited number of lawmen can always be present to witness every little skirmish that may break out, and no one really knows quite what to expect in this, the wickedest little city, especially when tensions are running high.
Hey! Ah! 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 Ah!
Great show you guys put on.
Thank you. Thank you.
Excellent. Okay, folks, that's me. Just talking to two of the gunfighters. I'm going to play the whole clip from the Dodge City here, where Harold and I are. It's a place on the map. You know, we something I haven't explained very well was how decisions are made, how this route was planned. Harold planned. He's a planner by trade. And he planned an overall huge circular route, starting from Denver and circling eventually back to Denver through about 8 states. And we were on Route 66, and then Harold realized that's something he wants to do in the future anyway as a separate trip. You know, it runs from Chicago to L.A., didn't you? It's like more than 2,000 miles all the way. And people have been known to get their kicks on Route 66, but anyway,
We decided to abandon it for this trip, and Harold said, how about we just head up to Kansas, north of us, where we are, and, gee, Dodge City is within driving distance. Let's go to Dodge City. And we're both Cowboy fans. We both grew up with that. And what a fabulous place. It was $10 to get in to, you know, see a lot of artifacts, and the gunfight alone was worth it. It was a blast. It was just so much fun. to watch these guys wrestling in the dirt and then start shooting at each other. And anyway, there's a saloon, they had dance hall girls. Well, I went in there and a bit early ahead of the crowd, and the guy at the door says, you can't go in, just, we're not open yet, we're not quite ready. And they said, well, you know, I look kind of upset. And they, well, all right, just go in, don't tell anybody. So I went in, ordered a beer, sat down, took a couple of pictures, sat down in front of the stage, took a couple of pictures of the dance hall queen, one of them, and then got asked for my ticket. So I don't have a ticket. Well, you need a ticket. $12, I believe, at the gift shop on top of the 10. And so I said, no, thank you. And instead, here I sit with my 350 Budweiser. God, that's a horrible, pissy beer. But it was worth it just to get this shot. So I got a beer and a shot of the dance hall queen and got booted out. Appropriate. On Boot Hill, I got the boot from the bar. It's happened before. Now I'm stuck sitting on a bench outside on the boardwalk of Dodge City, all by myself, drinking a beer. Nothing wrong with that. And right across, we got a motel for about $60 a night, a day's in. I was in the pool this afternoon. Both of us did a laundry. It's just been great. Right across from that hotel is another Mexican restaurant, and not one of these Taco Tico chains or something, but a real Mexican restaurant. I've been eating a lot of Mexican food while I've been here, and I just love it. So, howdy.
Excuse me?
Because I maintain you can't get Mexican food in Canada, not that I know of. Taco Bell's. Yeah. Anyway, folks, that's just an update. Oh, yeah, I was talking about making the decisions. They've just been sort of mutual. When Harold said, well, we can give up 66 and head back up north, maybe to Archer, the one national park we didn't see in Utah. Well, that's the one I wanted to see. And I'm thinking, wow, that's mighty, mighty fine, Harold. I like that new plan. But we've been, you cooperate. You give and take, and you get along, and you go with a trusted buddy, you know, somebody you don't know, you're not going to travel with so well. Or you're going to split up pretty damn soon, as often happens, but Harold and I know each other pretty well. Pretty tolerant of each other's peccadilloes. And he's been a good traveling companion, and it's been a fine, fine, fine trip. We're beginning to feel it's winding down. We got to be in Denver by Wednesday, and it's Sunday now. So we got some driving to do. I love it, the idea of going back into the hills of Utah. Wow. And I don't think I'm saying what it is I want to say, and it's about that. Making decisions, both of us feel very much, let things unfold. He made an overview. Here's where we'd like to go, where we could go. I made the circle. And to a large degree, we followed the plan. But where a destination might have been Tucson or Wichita or something like that, we'd say, well, we don't have to go into the city. We can stop partway there and find a small town and get a motel. And that's what we've been doing. So where we'd stop each night, we have not had one single plan or booking in advance. And that's the beauty of this kind of travel. And both of us, as we did last year when we did the Maritime Tour, are banking heavily on karma. Thinking, we're good guys. We're doing nice things. We're kind, generous, fair, honest. We're going to get good karma. And the good karma is going to take us to a nice place every night. Decent place. As long as we don't fight it. As long as we're open. As long as we go with the flow. And that's what we're doing. So maybe that explains it a little better. But anyway, at the very least, if nothing else, I get to finish my beer while talking. Thank you. As shitty as that beer was, talk about horse piss. Anyway, Dodge City, the real Dodge City, was pretty interesting. We are actually on Boot Hill. Boot Hill, where they buried. They only used it as a graveyard for 6 years. But that is, from all the westerns you've watched, Wyatt Earp and Bat Masterson and everything else, this was the real thing. What I didn't know and what shocked me more than anything was that the movie we saw before coming in claimed it was a U.S. government policy because they wanted to open that Santa Fe Trail and keep it safe. And, of course, it was Indian land and the Indians were likely to attack. They figured if they got rid of the buffalo, and there were millions of them, if they got rid of the buffalo, they'd get rid of the Indian, because the Indians depended on them for living. And they just sent out people, thousands, to shoot and kill the buffalo, as you heard. And, Wyatt Earp, that is. In no time at all, there was, there were no buffalo left. And it's brutally, horribly tragic. Like, they just did it, like, almost for fun, shooting these things. Anyway, end of the Dodge City rant. I gotta finish my tour and be on my way. This is gonna be one hell of a long series of podcasts, but that's what it is. Bye for now. Scarborough Dude signing out from Dodge City, Kansas. Oh, yeah. Yeah! To check in, try and get a bead on this thing. It's Monday, August 25th. I cannot even count how many clips I've recorded and how I'm going to mash them together, but here I am, and this is just one more. I'm in Kansas. We're in Kansas still. We just pulled over the road sign, so Harold could have a dump. Well, it is a proper rest stop with washrooms, so it's not like he's just shitting in the bushes. There are not many bushes. This is still Kansas, and it's prairie land. We've just passed a feed yard, and I guess that's where they put the cattle that they're getting ready for slaughter. And it was a chilling sight. There wasn't a pleasant smell in the air. I'm pretty sure that was the smell of death. And we are talking about thousands and thousands of head of cattle just grazing, being fed, probably being fattened up before being marched in. I think the whole thing, the factory, the processing plant was right there. And Harold was saying, boy, if these things had spirits, that would be a pretty horrible place to work at, to visit. But anyway, it's just something you see. It's the reality of it, and you feel, oh, my God. But that's just the whole history of life. Yesterday, the Dodge City Museum and that horrible idea of slaughtering all the buffalo to get rid of the Indians. Like, whoa, this sounds the way they said it. This is an official government policy. It's like, you know, using napalm to deforest an area to get people out. Horrific. The horror of human history. But anyway, let's not go there. We're heading towards Colorado, and I'm hoping just to reclaim, get back some of that beautiful, peaceful feeling I had earlier in the trip. It's not that we've lost it. This has been just interesting, but it's different. But I really, really liked being in those national parks. They were just such glorious places. So we're heading back for one more. We won't make it all the way there today. We'll get as far as, well into Colorado, and then pick a route to get us up towards Moab and Arches National Park before heading back for Denver. So, like I said, trip winding down, but it's been a dandy, and there you have it. God, were there any insights in there? I don't think so. One thing, did I mention yesterday that I don't smile? Yeah, and I got a lousy laugh, too. It's just the default. I think I dreamt about it last night after thinking about it. Maybe I mentioned it to you already. That my mouth just sort of tends to hang down, point down. And I always look like a mean bastard. And I think when I get a little high, one of the reasons I like getting high is I smile a lot more. I laugh more. I love interacting with people, you know. I toss down one of those little jelly beans and, boy, suddenly that Dodge City gunfight's a lot more interesting. And the people you interact with and the gift shop, just a lot more fun and makes me a better person, that THC stuff does. Or so it seems. It's a dangerous thing to say. Anyway, that's it. Just a quick update and one more piece of the pie I'm trying to dish out here. Watching a little, I don't know if it's a jackrabbit or some kind of little critter hopping around. It's nice country, and the roads are beautiful, and overall, the people have been very, very friendly, everybody we've come in contact with. And that's a good thing. All right, signing off. I see there's a map on the wall. Got to go check that out. Pick our route. Bye for now.
To Dallas Wayne, right here in Outlaw Country.
Yeah. about sitting in that big armchair. One arm around his old guitar and the other one around my beer.
Is offering the new jalapeno double for $2. Sorry, it was a right turn, Harold.
No, hard right.
Hard right. Garden City's got nightclubs and bars. Liquor outlets, guns. Now what we want to get back onto is the 50 and the 400. Well, the 50 will lead to the 400. Vast plains, rugged mountains, and grand plateaus, so magnificent in their beauty and variety, seem at times to overshadow the state's history and people. But look closely. The story of Colorado is every bit as dramatic as the physical terrain. Many peoples have helped sculpt Colorado's past. The ancestral Puebloan peoples, whose civilizations date back thousands of years. The Utes, the Utes, Utes, who occupied the Rockies for centuries, the numerous other native people who lived in this region, Hispano pioneers, the state's first permanent non-Indian settlers, and the men and women who came here and built cities, dug mines, and planted farms. Colorado's natural endowment is world-renowned. But the state's history, like the land on which it unfolds, features its own breathtaking peaks and valleys, its own scenes of improbable awe and splendor. Yeah, we'll stop there. Welcome to Colorado once again. Nice to be back. Yeah, just wanted to add, it was 95 degrees American when we were in Dodge City yesterday. Hot throughout Kansas. There was always a little bit of a breeze going, which made things okay. And if you stayed in the shade, you were all right, too. A lot cooler already here in Colorado. But we'll see what's ahead. Just a weather report. Okay, we're in Lamar, Colorado. And there's a little poster, a billboard here for the Santa Fe Trail. Welcome to the heart of the mountain branch of the Santa Fe Trail. Beginning in 1821, the trail was an international commerce route until 1848, when much of northern Mexico became part of the United States. The trail thrived until 1880, bringing a rich exchange of ideas, culture, and goods that still exist today. Santa Fe Trail's legacy endures as Victorian buildings, historic ranches, landmarks, stage stops, watering holes, and wagon wheel ruts. There's still a sense of adventure connected to the Great Prairie Highway of Commerce. So we are taking this, and I see also nearby here, which interests me, the Amachi Japanese internment camp. Must have been on this road. So we're heading to La Junta and then Pueblo Where is the Japanese internment camp? Let's see. Yes, here we are. Camp Amechi. If we do not extend humanity's kindness and understanding to these people, if we deny them the protection of the Bill of Rights, if we say they may be denied the privilege of living in any one of the 48 states without hearing or charge of misconduct, then we are tearing down the whole American system. If Colorado's part in the war is to take 100,000 of them, then Colorado will take care of them. That was Governor Ralph Collar of Colorado. This was to do with the internment of the Japanese during World War II. In 1942, a newspaper poll, Coloradans expressed overwhelming hostility to the idea of having Japanese Americans relocated within their state. Western governors also vehemently opposed the relocation plan. The lone exception, Colorado's governor, Ralph Carr, not only did he welcome the displaced Japanese Americans, the 55-year-old Republican condemned the shame and dishonor of race hatred. Carr's principled stand may have sealed his political doom. He was soundly beaten in a 1942 Senate bid. Anti-Japanese sentiment ran so high in Colorado that voters introduced a ballot initiative seeking to outlaw land ownership by aliens. It failed. Carr ran for governor again in 1950 but died of a heart attack during the campaign. Coloradans honor his memory with a statue in Denver's Sakura Square. Well, that is an interesting little story. Barely a trace remains of Camp Amechi, a federal relocation center that housed Japanese Americans during World War II. The camp opened in August 1942 and almost instantly became Colorado's 10th largest city with a peak population of 7,500. In some ways, Amechi was like any other American community with its own government, businesses, newspapers, school system, hospital, farms, fire, and police departments. But the residents were essentially prisoners. They were brought against their will and could not leave without permission. Over time, many were allowed to resettle nearby. Some 2,000 stayed in Colorado after the war. Others volunteered for military service as soldiers, nurses, and interpreters. And 31 died fighting for the United States in World War II. In time of war, residents having ethnic affiliations with an invading enemy may be a greater source of danger than those of different ancestry. That was the U.S. Supreme Court in 1943. They treat us as if we had leprosy everywhere we go. We're being shoved around like so much cattle. An anonymous Amechi resident. Okay, that was interesting. Thank you. The idea of God outside of us is ridiculous. And inside of us, maybe. Or not inside of us, no. That we are of, maybe. We are of God. A lot of doubters to that one, I know.